Todd Grove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Niver. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nivert.
In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, I'm going to read the last sentence in that verse. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I have entitled this message, "What is a Christian?" The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, this word is used three times in the Scripture. Do you remember when Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian?" And then Peter said, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." And in our text, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Notice they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians. Was it a term of derision? I don't know. Was it a term of commendation? I don't know. We just know that they were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, what is a Christian? How many images come to your mind when you hear that question? I imagine most people would probably think, well, a hypocrite. And I understand that. Hypocrisy abounds. And I know that when I go out to eat on Sunday afternoons with my wife and I'm wearing my church clothes and I tell Lynn, everybody's saying, look at those hypocrites. That is what comes to mind quite often. I know that even businesses try to use a Christian name in order to get business, as if it being a Christian makes them more worthy of business. To be honest with you, if somebody uses a Christian in their business, I don't trust them at all. I think that they're using Christianity for material reasons, and that lets you know that they're not trustworthy, just doing that. What comes to your mind when you think of the word Christian? Well, some people think, well, people who are very moral, very good people, people who are against abortion, and they uphold family values, and they're real conservative. Well, you can be all those things and not be a Christian. That is not necessarily it's not what a Christian is. As a matter of fact, if you are a Christian, truly, if you are a Christian, you believe yourself to be so intrinsically evil that the only way you could be saved is by the Son of God coming and keeping the law for you and paying for your sins. You don't have anything to bring to the table. You believe yourself to be evil. When people think of a good Christian, well, everybody ought to live moral lives. I'm not saying anything about that, but a good Christian's an oxymoron. If you're a Christian, you believe yourself to be a very bad person who needs the grace of God, who needs the work of Christ on your behalf. What is a Christian? Well, short answer, a Christian is one who believes on Christ. It's a follower of Christ. A Christian is a disciple of Christ. But I think it would be profitable for us to look at the context of this passage of Scripture where they were first called Christians and see what took place and why they were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, this story begins in verse 19 of Acts chapter 11, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only." Now we read about that persecution that took place in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was stoned and put to death. And all of a sudden everyone was after Christians or believers, wanting them to be put to death. Saul of Tarsus leading the charge, wanting anybody who was a follower of Christ put to death. And these believers or disciples of Christ in Jerusalem had to flee town in order to escape for their lives. And as they were scattered, they went about preaching the gospel everywhere they went. Now let's go on reading, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now these unnamed men, this wasn't some of the apostles, these unnamed men who were disciples of Christ, who had to escape from Jerusalem, when they came into Antioch, they also preached to the Grecians, or the Gentiles, the gospel. Now this had not taken place up to this point. Now they didn't know about what took place in Acts chapter 10 when Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius and that watershed event that took place. And they came to these unbelievers in Antioch, people who had never heard the gospel, people who did not know the living God, and they preached the Lord Jesus. And what took place? The hand of the Lord was with them, and many believed. But the first point I'd like to make, what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has not always been a Christian. These Grecians weren't. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know who God is. They didn't know their own sinfulness. They did not know Christ. They were not saved in their experience before these men came and preached the gospel. Now, in our calendar, we have B.C., before Christ, A.D., that's the Latin for the year of our Lord. But B.C., most people that would claim to be Christians, I don't know if they have a B.C. I don't know if they have a before Christ. They think, well, I've always been saved. I've always believed on Christ. I've always been a Christian. That's too long. First of all, a Christian is someone who at one time was without God, without hope in this world. They didn't know God. They were unchristian. They were not saved. They didn't know God in their experience. And that's the case with these Grecians. They did not know God. And they, these unnamed men, came preaching this message, the Lord Jesus. Now first, if you're a Christian, you've got a B.C. before Christ, before you knew Him. And then you hear this message, the same message that these men brought them, these men who had not believed. They came preaching the Lord Jesus. That's a summary of their message. Now that doesn't mean they simply said Lord Jesus. That means they told who He is, what He did, why He's the Lord. They came preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, what does that mean, the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord is the one whose will is done all the time. Let me repeat that. Lordship, the Lord Jesus. The Lord is the one whose will is done all the time. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord. That means His will is done all the time. When He created the universe, it was His will being done. He willed this creation into existence. Everything that happens in this creation, in this thing called time, time began when man was created and there were days and nights. Everything that happens in time is His will being done. Now somebody says, you're saying that God is the author of evil when you say that, because you're saying it's His will when bad things happen. I am saying this, whatever takes place is His will being done. You see, He's God, and He controls everything. The Scripture says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And He brings good out of evil. But whatever is taking place is His will being done. I don't care if it's a natural disaster. I don't care if it's something good happening to a society. Whatever takes place in my personal life, my sickness, my health, my poverty, my wealth, whatever it might be. It's His will being done. You see, He's God. He's completely sovereign over the free and uncoerced actions of men. And if you're saved, you're saved because He willed your salvation. It's not because you willed it. It's because He willed your salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. In this thing of salvation, you didn't get saved. You didn't decide to be saved. He willed your salvation if you are saved. I think of what the leper said in Matthew chapter 8. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He understood that salvation was utterly in the Lord's hands. Now, He is the Lord. And He is Jesus. I love His name. Jesus, you know what that name means? Savior. He's the Lord Jesus. Now, if He's just Jesus without being the Lord Jesus, He can't save anybody. But because He's the Lord Jesus, He is mighty to save. Listen to this scripture from Matthew 1:21. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And that's exactly what He has done. As Lord Jesus, He saved all of His people from the penalty of sins, what the Bible calls justification. I stand before God without guilt, perfectly righteous in His sight because He saved me from the penalty of my sins by bearing that penalty for me. That's why He died on Calvary's tree, and that perfect righteousness He worked out is given to me, and I stand before God without guilt. He saves His people from the power of their sins. Now, what does that mean? Well, by nature, I'm dead in sins. I am unable to believe. I'm unable to repent. I know I'm unable to come to Christ. I'm unable to receive His mercy. I can't do anything. But He gives me a new heart, a heart that does believe, that does repent, that does love Him for who He is. And I've been saved from the power of sin. Someone says, well, I've been saved from the power of sin. I don't sin. You're under the complete dominion of sin, if that's what you think. You've been totally deceived and are under its power. The man who is not under its power sees his sinfulness, but he sees the power of God unto salvation in the gospel. One of these days, I'll be saved from the very presence of sin. So a Christian is someone who has heard and believed the message of the Lord Jesus. Now let's go on reading. It says in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. These men preaching the gospel, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. What is a Christian? He's a work of the hand of the Lord. And if you're a Christian, you know that. You know that you're not saved by your works. Not the labor of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. You understand that you are the work of the Lord. You're the work of His hand. I love what David said. David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of thine hand. David knew he was the work of God's hand. So a Christian, somebody says, well, let's go plant a church or let's win souls. You don't do that. That's what the Lord does. A Christian is the work of His hand. And what was the result or the evidence of the work of His hand? A great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now here is what a Christian is. He's someone who believes and turns to the Lord. Wherever you have faith, you have one who has turned from self, from their own efforts and works and whatever they thought would recommend them to God, and they turn to the Lord. He's the Savior. Now, a Christian is one who believes. Now, understand this. Faith is not what you believe about yourself. Somebody says, I believe I'm saved. Well, that doesn't mean you are. Someone says, I'm afraid I'm not saved. That doesn't mean you're not, because faith doesn't have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. Faith has wholly to do with what you believe concerning Him. Do you believe He's God? Do you believe He's man? Do you believe He's the God-man? Do you believe He's the Son of God? Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe He's God's Christ? God's prophet, the very Word of God. God's priest, if He brings you into God's presence, you must be saved. God's King, the one who rules and reigns. What do you believe concerning Him? That is the issue. Faith is not believing you're saved. Faith is believing He is salvation. Now, assurance comes from that. Believing you're saved is assurance. But the only way you have assurance is believing that He is salvation, that He did it all and nothing is required of you. You look to Him only as everything in your salvation. They believed and they turned to the Lord. Believing on Christ is a turning to the Lord from self. The Lord said, whoso forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Everything that you think that you have that could recommend you to God, you get rid of. And you turn wholeheartedly to the Lord. Now let's go on reading. Then tidings of these came into the ears of the church was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. Now what did he see? When he saw these people who had turned to the Lord by grace and believed by grace, Scripture says he saw the grace of God. What is a Christian? A Christian is the work of the grace of God. Now, I don't want to presume that everybody knows what grace means. Everybody uses the word. I was listening to a man who was a recovered addict. He was not a Christian, didn't claim to be a Christian, but yet he said in this addiction recovery, I've been recovered by the grace of God. And he was not one who claimed to be a Christian, but he used that term. So I don't want to just presume you know what is meant by grace. I want us to look at the first time the word is used in the Bible. It's found in Genesis chapter 6 with regard to Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now what was said before that, Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, when God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know who's included in that bunch? Noah. It doesn't say except for Noah. He's talking about all mankind. That's what he sees when he sees it, looks in my heart, and that's what he sees when he looks in your heart. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's God's testimony. That's not man's testimony, that's God's testimony. That's how evil men are as a result of the fall of Adam. We're born bad. We're born with evil natures. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord decided to give Noah grace. You see, God's grace is not something He offers you. God's grace is not something He makes available to you, and it's up to you to accept it or reject it. God's grace saves all the time. By grace ye are saved. Not grace is made available to you, but grace saves you. It's the grace of God saving. That's why Noah was saved. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now let me say this about God's grace. It's saving grace. It's sovereign grace. What's that mean? That means if you have grace, it's because He gave it to you. It's not because you did anything. You can't merit grace. If you do have grace, it's because He gave it to you. It's free. There's nothing you have to do to pay for it. There's nothing you have to do to make God give it to you. It's absolutely and completely free. And it's always saving. I can tell what somebody believes about grace by what they believe about election. We read of the election of grace in Romans chapter 11, verse 5. And then he says, if it's by grace, if election's by grace, it's no more works. You see, election is the doctrine that shows whether somebody really believes in salvation by grace. If you don't believe in election, God choosing who would be saved by His grace before time began, that means you believe salvation has something to do with what you do. And that is salvation by works. But No, what did he see when he saw these people? He saw the grace of God. And he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who with purpose of heart cleaves to the Lord. Now that word cleave comes out of the word remain or abide. Now here is the purpose of the heart of every Christian. I want to abide in the Lord, with the Lord. I don't want to fall away. I want to be preserved. I want to hold on to Him. I don't want to let go. And I know I will if God doesn't enable me to, but I want to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be united to Him. I want to be found in Him. I want it to be, when God looks at me, all He sees is Christ. That's how much I want to be completely in Him, so that all God sees is Christ. That's what Paul said in Philippians 3 when he said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law." I don't want to have anything to do with that. "But that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Every believer with purpose of heart would cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all I want to be, someone in Christ. What is a Christian? Well, he's someone who cleaves to the Lord Jesus Christ with purpose of heart. Now let's go on reading. This is after Barnabas had gone to find Paul, and through his preaching, the scripture says, much people were added unto the Lord. This is at Antioch. A Christian is somebody that's been added to the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." A Christian is one who is added to the Lord. Now this lets us know once again, salvation's of the Lord. When Agrippa said, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian," he thought he could become one if he decided to. It doesn't work that way. This is of the Lord. They were added to the Lord. And we read in verse 26 of Acts chapter 11, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now, people saw these people assembling together and being taught the gospel from the scriptures. And this is where they were first called Christians. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who assembles with God's people. Church is not optional. Now, by church, don't mean a building. You know that, I hope. Church is God's people meeting together, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. What this thing we're doing, television. I'm preaching on TV, hoping that you will come to hear the gospel in a live local assembly. Church is very, very important. TV does not take the place of church. Now, I realize that there may be people who live in areas where they can't find a church that preaches the gospel of God's grace, and they are not a part of the local assembly. And I feel sorry for those people. I pray for them. I pray the Lord raises up a place in their area or causes them to come somewhere where they can hear the gospel. But I'm very sympathetic with that. But if you can be in church, and by church, I'm not just talking about a religious assembly. Most things that go on under the name church are not churches because the gospel is not preached. They're religious organizations, they're social clubs, they're places where people find support and so on, but they're not churches because in a church, the gospel is preached. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, according to Paul, and sheep were meant to be in flocks. The public assembly of God's saints. We want to identify with the message of the gospel. I want everybody to see this is my hope, the message of the church, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Believers assemble together. You see, there's no such thing as private faith. You don't worship Him privately. As a matter of fact, the most glorious private worship is during public worship, when the Lord speaks to your heart through the preaching of the gospel and makes you know you're His and He is yours. And that's where you worship privately the most gloriously, is during public worship. I can't emphasize enough the importance of public worship. Faith cometh by hearing the gospel preached. And that is what goes on in church when God's people assemble together. It's to hear the gospel preached, to hear the word of God preached. And you see some people where church is, well, if I can find time for it, if I can juggle it into life's busy schedule, it will be okay. No. You don't know what church is if that's what you think. Church is where God's people meet together. Birds of a feather flock together. They meet together to hear the gospel. And these people witnessed these people assembling together, and they were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, what is a Christian? Well, they have a BC before Christ. They've heard and believed the message of the Lord Jesus. A Christian is the work of the hand of God. And the evidence of His hand is there is a believing and turning to the Lord. A Christian is the product of grace when Barnabas saw the grace of God. A Christian is someone who with purpose of heart cleaves to the Lord. I mean, Christ is their life. He's not part of their life. He's not the most important part of their life. He is their life. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It'll be the best day of my life." A Christian is the Lord's add-on, and Christians are those who assemble themselves together, loving the brethren, loving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, assembling themselves together to hear the gospel. Now, when people witness that, they were called Christians first at Antioch, this place that was the first Gentile church. May the Lord richly bless you and cause you to be a Christian.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.neibert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.